Part 3. Questions 21 to 25.
Good morning, everyone. My name's Joy Parkins, and I'm the restaurant manager. And I understand that none of you've had any previous experience as kitchen assistants. Well, you might be feeling a bit nervous now, but most of our kitchen assistants say they enjoy the work. Okay, they might get shouted at sometimes, but it's nothing personal, and they're pleased that they have so many different things to do, which means they never get bored. And I'll tell you straight away that if you do well, we might think about moving you up and giving you some more responsibility. Right, well, you've all shown up on time, which is an excellent start. Now, I'm glad to see none of you have unsuitable footwear, so that's good. You need to be careful as the floors can get very wet and slippery. Those of you with long hair have got it well out of the way, but some of you'll need to remove your rings and bracelets. Just put them somewhere safe for today, and remember to leave them at home tomorrow, as they can be a safety hazard. Now, it's going to be a busy day for you all today. We don't have any tables free for this evening, and only a few for lunch. Fortunately, we've got our head chef back. He was away on holiday all last week, which meant the other chefs had extra work. Now, I'll tell you a bit more about the job in a minute, but first, some general regulations. For all of you, whatever your age, there's some equipment you mustn't use until you've been properly trained, like the waste disposal system, for example, for health and safety reasons. Then I think there are two of you here who are under 18. That's Emma and Jake, isn't it? Right, so for you two, the meat slicer is out of bounds. And of course, none of you are allowed to use the electric mixer until you've been shown how it works. Now, you may have heard that this can be a stressful job, and I have to say that can be true. You'll be working an 8-hour day for the first week, though you'll have the chance to do overtime after that as well if you want to. But however long the hours are, you'll get a break in the middle. What you will find is that you're on your feet all day long, lifting and carrying, so if you're not fit now, you soon will be. You'll find you don't have much chance to take it easy. When someone tells you to do something, you need to do it straight away. But at least we do have a very efficient air conditioning system compared with some kitchens.
Questions 26 to 30.
We begin our examination of America in the 1960s with the usual caution. There is no sense in trying to understand any decade without looking at what came before. Those of you who still have outstanding coursework on the 1950s would do well to complete it now, if for no other reason that it will help make sense of the next series of lectures. But we must press on, and I'd like to begin my talk about the 60s with a reference to one of those things that came before, the post-war baby boom. With the end of the Second World War in 1945, there began in the USA an era of perceived prosperity and security. In short, people started to feel that the world was a much better and safer place to bring up children. So, at the start of the 60s, all those children born in the baby boom, 70 million in the USA alone, were teenagers. As the 60s progressed and as this large number of people approached adulthood, there was a noticeable shift in the balance of power, and young people began to have a voice in ways that were not considered possible in the more conservative atmosphere of the preceding decade. Things were moving forward at a rapid pace. The literature of the time brought out all the taboos. Everything was covered, such as race, in, for example, the book To Kill a Mockingbird. The role of women changed, and equality for women. Well, let's just say that once certain books were published, women were no longer going to be satisfied with their roles as devoted wives and mothers. Through literature alone, the whole fabric of society was challenged, and by the end of the 60s, things would never again be as they had pretty much been for the preceding 40 years. It was a decade of protest, civil rights protests, feminism, the rights of minorities, the Vietnam War. All these causes led to peaceful and not-so-peaceful protests on college campuses and elsewhere. People had been given freedom of speech, and they were going to use it. The crime rate rose to 9 times what it was in the 50s, as respect for the old order faded away. But it was also a time of great development. In medicine, the 60s saw the first heart transplant. In technology and the space race, where we saw the first American in orbit, and lasers being invented at the start of the decade, and the first man on the moon and the first primitive internet at the end.
Questions 31 to 35.
My topic is handedness, whether in different sports it is better to be left or right-sided, or whether a more balanced approach is more successful. I'm left-handed myself, and I actually didn't see any relevance to my own life when I happened to start reading an article by a sports psychologist called Peter Matthews. He spent the first part of the article talking about handedness in music instead of sport, which I have to say almost put me off from reading further. But what I soon became struck by was the sheer volume of both observation and investigation he had done in many different sports, and I felt persuaded that what he had to say would be of real interest. I think Matthew's findings will be beneficial not so much in helping sports people to work on their weaker side, but more that they can help them identify the most suitable strategies to use in a given game. Although most trainers know how important handedness is, at present they are rather reluctant to make use of the insights scientists like Matthews can give, which I think is rather short-sighted, because focusing on individual flexibility is only part of the story. Anyway, back to the article. Matthews found a German study which looked at what he called mixed handedness, that is, the capacity to use both left and right hands equally. It looked at mixed-handedness in 40 musicians on a variety of instruments. Researchers examined a number of variables, e.g. type of instrument played, regularity of practice undertaken, and length of time playing instrument, and found the following. Keyboard players had high levels of mixed-handedness, whereas string players, like cellists and violinists, strongly favoured one hand. Also, those who started younger were more mixed-handed. Matthews also reports studies of handedness in apes. Apes get a large proportion of their food by fishing ants from anthills. The studies show that apes, like humans, show handedness, though for them right and left-handedness is about equal, whereas about 85% of humans are right-handed. Studies showed that apes consistently using the same hand fished out 30% more ants than those varying between the two.